Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. The Bible warns of false prophets who will deceive many. For there to be false prophets, there have to be people willing to hear the message of false prophets. If nobody wanted to hear the message of a false prophet, or if everyone could discern between a false prophet and a true prophet of God, there would be no need for false prophets to share their message. People listen to a false prophet because of the message being given. There is something about that message that connects with the person hearing the false prophet. Maybe the false prophet, in a time of trouble, is providing a voice of comfort to the listener. We were all children who probably were comforted by our parents and people close to us. So, as children, we had already learned that there are others who comfort. Maybe the message of the false prophet aligns to something a person is already thinking about. And so because a person who claims to be of God speaks similarly to what another person believes, that other person accepts what the false prophet is saying as true, like a spiritual confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is a common trait of people to favor information that aligns to something already believed. A false prophet who speaks about evil things to come will make some sense to a person already believing evil things are to come. And a false prophet who speaks about how everything will work itself out will make sense to the person who believes everything will work itself out. We can look to the Bible for an example of how a prophet of God interacted with a false prophet. Hananiah, the false prophet in the passage we will read, met with Jeremiah, the Jeremiah of the book of Jeremiah, a true prophet of God, while both were in the house of the Lord. Hananiah claimed that God had told him that he would break the power of Nebuchadnezzar, and within 2 years, all of the temple vessels that had been carried back to Babylon would be returned, as would all the captives who had been taken to Babylon. The message of Hananiah would be very comforting to anyone who would hear it, and it would probably align to their thinking that God would return everything to Jerusalem. So the message of Hananiah, false prophet, would be easy to accept. When Jeremiah heard Hananiah's message, he didn't immediately or directly call out Hananiah as a false prophet. Instead, Jeremiah indicated he hoped God would do what Hananiah said, and then Jeremiah explained how the listener could discern if Hananiah was a true prophet of God or merely a false prophet. He explained that in times past, prophets spoke of nations, kingdoms, war, evil, and disease. Jeremiah then inserted that if a prophet claims to be of God and speaks of peace, and then peace comes to pass, people can discern that the prophet gave a message aligned to the will of God. Jeremiah 28, verse 1. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests, and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so, the Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears, and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Obviously, in the case of Hananiah, what he said did not come to pass, and he died later that same year at the hand of God, because all he did was lie to the people, causing the people to continue to rebel against God. Nebuchadnezzar had taken the people and vessels from the temple back to Babylon because the people had already rejected God. When Hananiah proclaimed that the people and temple vessels would be returned within 2 years, it suggested that the fault was with Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, and not the people of Jerusalem. It suggested it was Nebuchadnezzar and the people of Babylon who needed to act, and not the people of Jerusalem, when the people of Jerusalem had rejected God and needed to repent and return to God. When we think of false prophets, we think of mystical, biblical figures and not people who are alive with us presently. We can read passages in Revelation where not one but two beasts arise, with the first coming out of the sea, and how the first beast was given a mouth to speak great things and blasphemies, and even to make war with the saints and overcome them. The first beast is more than a false prophet because it is worshipped by people. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The second beast arises out of the earth and presents as a religious figure who directs the people to worship the first beast. The second beast is able to do many different types of miracles that add to the credibility of the second beast. And using this increased credibility, the second beast controls the economy by restricting who can buy and sell. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. These two beasts find death, like Hananiah the false prophet of Jeremiah's time. And it is in the description of how the two beasts find death that the second beast which arose out of the earth is described as a false prophet. Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. When Jesus told the disciples what to expect during the end time, he told them that many false prophets would arise to deceive many during a time that, because of sin, the love of many would grow cold. Jesus reminded the disciples that enduring to the end was needed for salvation, as the gospel would be preached throughout the world. Matthew 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Similar to the words of Jesus, John warned of false prophets in his first letter, explaining for the faithful, there is a need to try the spirits to see if they are of God, and giving the basic test to see if people believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He described those believing differently as having the spirit of Antichrist, and implied we should not worry because the Holy Spirit that is within us is greater than the spirit of evil that is found within the world. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Peter warned that false prophets can bring damnable heresies into the faith, up to and including denying Jesus Christ. These false prophets cause many to see the truth as evil, while their underlying motivation is money, as they seek to make money from people by exploiting the faith of the people. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Paul writes of false prophets who seek to make themselves look good before others, creating an image of righteousness so that they can financially exploit the faithful. Paul reminded the Corinthians that he did not collect money from them in service to the gospel, but used funds from other congregations. False prophets can be quick to find ways to financially exploit the faithful and be very convincing, just as much as even Satan can seem to be a minister of light. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. For there to be a false prophet, there must be people willing to listen to the message of the false prophet. And in writing to Timothy, Paul explains that the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine and will instead prefer to listen to what soothes their itching ears instead of listening to the truth. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. God warned Israel of false prophets during the Exodus, and showed that if a prophet speaks about something as if it will happen, and then it does not happen, that prophet will die through the will of God. Israel was also told not to be afraid of a false prophet. Should we encounter a false prophet, we simply do not believe them, nor are we afraid of them or their message. There is no further action we need to take. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Jeremiah writes of prophets who falsely speak, working together with priests who use authority to control people. And then we can see how this is what the people want. From the passage, we can see that the people of this time are described as wicked and deceitful. These are the people who have gained wealth by exploiting others. These people are so wealthy, there is no need for them to work as an average person, and they have become very fat to the point they glow with perspiration. These are people who see evil being done and look the other way. They see people in need, and instead of helping the people in need, they find a way to make money from that need. For there to be false prophets, there has to be wicked and evil people. Jeremiah 5, verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Jeremiah also writes how the prophets will lie directly to the people, telling them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear, and shares a warning from God not to believe the lies of the false prophets, because the words of a false prophet will never constrain what God wills to do. Jeremiah 14, verse 13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold the prophets say unto them, You shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land, by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them. Them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Later in Jeremiah, we see where God describes both prophet and priest as profane. And even though they claim to be of God, they are found with wickedness by God. God then goes on to show that people who think they are of God, when in reality they are found with wickedness, are living in a precarious place, about as precarious as walking in a dark and slippery area. Because they are consumed with wickedness, evil will come to them. Jeremiah 23, verse 11. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as the slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. These false prophets boldly lie to people who hate God. They make it seem like God is just fine with and will reward people who hate him. God knows what happens when good becomes evil by what happened with Satan and the demons. It was Satan who was created as the sum of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Satan was created in that perfection knowing good. Then Satan rebelled and also knew evil. That's why in the Garden of Eden there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil being the tree that needed to be avoided. It was this tree that Satan used to deceive Eve and then Adam, because though man was created in the image and likeness of God, Satan wanted mankind to have his heart and soul. Just like Satan told Eve she wouldn't die for eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, false prophets also are quick to tell the sinner that no harm will come to them, implying they can continue in doing evil. Verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Ezekiel writes of false prophets who share the imagination of their mind and heart rather than an inspired message from God. These false prophets claim a message from God when no message from God was given. They share a vision from God when God has given no vision. They lie to the people just like an evil person lies to people. And the people welcome their message because the people are also evil. These false prophets, instead of showing the people the wickedness of their ways, choose to whitewash the wickedness, giving evil an appearance of good. When evil is disguised as good by something as thin as whitewash, all it will take is heavy rain, wind, or a hailstorm to uncover what is wicked. People might be deceived by whitewashing wickedness to give it an appearance of good, but with God, nothing changes. Evil will always be evil, and good will always be good. And in the end, God will uncover what is wicked, even when everyone wants to believe that evil is good. Ezekiel 13, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, Peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, The wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel writes of a conspiracy of prophets. Conspiracies require two or more people to work together secretly to bring about a result. God warns that even though the land is full of sin, instead of addressing the sin of the people, these false prophets have twisted the word of God to consume people, to take their wealth without any regard to if their actions leave nothing more than a poor widow. As these prophets conspire, they also willingly ignore what God requires and treats what is holy as if it is common. They also ignore the weekly Sabbath and holy days while having no respect for God. They act like civil leaders who also take wealth from the people without regard to the impact on the people. And as the civil leaders are doing this, they are whitewashed by the prophets as being good, God-fearing people. Having seen what the civil leaders and prophets are doing, the people also begin to exploit one another. And the moral decline of the nation brings God to punish his people. Ezekiel 22, verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore, I have poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own ways have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Micah writes of prophets that cause people to err, who falsely claim peace when there is no peace, even when war is looming on the horizon. God promises to cut off these false prophets from having a real prophetic vision where any word they say is from their own imagination. The priests and prophets are so corrupt that priests only do priestly things and prophets only prophesy when there is an opportunity to make money. And this leads to destruction. Micah 3, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded, yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment, and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for a reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord, and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Jesus warned the disciples of false prophets who outwardly appear righteous, but inwardly seek their destruction. He explained that false prophets can be discerned by their fruit. While these people claim to be of God, they live a life not aligned to God. When the faithful are working on the fruit of the Spirit, these false prophets are working on the works of the flesh. It's not enough that somebody claims to be a Christian. They must also be living their life as a Christian by doing the will of God our Father while holding the faith of Jesus. Instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, these false prophets seek first what it is to be human. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus showed that false prophets are often seen in society in a positive light, and that people say good things about them. He showed that we need to be careful not to live our lives seeking this type of approval from the people around us, because that could mean we are no different than the false prophets. Instead of being fully accepted by a society that rejects God, there should be space between us and society. Society might look at us as being deceived, dumb, and foolish for having faith. And when that happens, even if it hurts, it is not something we need to change by becoming like society. We might find ourselves somewhat isolated by society. In my personal life, those who are closest to me professionally through my work in public education and volunteering on different city advisory committees or other civic organizations see me as a reserved and private person because I do not engage in things that they do. Some who I know professionally understand that difference stems from faith, and some of those who know will have nothing to do with me unless there is a professional need to connect. And I've come to be fine with that. I've been told that I'm a great person to work with, but I have a very strange religion. Because of faith in Jesus Christ, I know I am not always welcomed, and I'm fine with that. Luke 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. False prophets have been around since the time the serpent told Eve she would not die by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is false prophets who people tend to prefer to hear from because the false prophet is crafty enough to tell people what they want to hear, and not what they need to hear. When the prophet of God might warn the people of their sin, the false prophet will whitewash sin to make it appear as righteousness. We know that sin is always sin and righteousness is always righteousness, and yet the false prophet does not see it that way. Because they can take what is sin and whitewash it to appear righteous, it shouldn't be a surprise to us when these false prophets themselves are focused on the works of the flesh and not the fruit of the Spirit. We know as we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ, there will be more and more false prophets because sin and iniquity will grow and grow. False prophets go hand in hand with sin and iniquity because the message of a false prophet needs an audience wanting to hear the false prophet's message, a message that whitewashes sin and iniquity. As that sin and iniquity grows, the love of many also grows cold. While we cannot allow our love to grow cold, we know we will live in a society that is colder and harsher than before. Because we are of the household of faith, we find ourselves isolated by society, a society that embraces the lie over truth, a society that rejects God, and a society that gladly welcomes false prophets. We know nothing will come of the message of a false prophet, that ultimately they will be proven wrong. As we encounter false prophets, we hold fast to the truth. We never trade the truth of God for the lie so widely accepted by society. When society rejects God, we do the will of God. When society rejects God to live in sin, we do what is expected of God without regard to whatever consequences society might throw our way. We stay true to the word of God. We endure to the end, and we do not give up. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.